Good morning. I think I might just stand off to the side here. We have the children here on one row. It's different, that's for sure. So Marlon didn't specify how long, so I don't know if you want an hour children's lesson or half hour. Depends how long Marlon needs. We were talking at home what I should share on, and Kenson suggested that I should share a story. My children enjoy when Daddy reads them a story. And when I do a children's lesson, I like to try to do it where you can understand it easily and take something home with you. Men already shared some verses there in Revelation that I can spring off of. Thank you for that, Mental. The story that I have here, some of you might have had the book at home, but it's a book by Pablo Yoder. He's since passed on to what Mental was sharing, his reward in heaven. I have a number of his books at home, and I appreciated reading his writings. He was a nature lover, and for myself, I don't get out as much as I'd like to, but I've enjoyed over the years studying different intricacies of nature and how things flow together. With that, the story here is about a blue creek in Costa Rica, and I want to start with a verse in Revelation 15. Starting in verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. In reading this, I just want to stir in us a heart of worship and glorifying God for his great and marvelous works. And when you, I know it's wintertime now, but in the springtime here, as the new things begin to come back again, it's always encouraging to see the leaves come back, the birds with their fresh eggs for the next little ones, and everything flowing together. Also here in Psalm verse 8, starting in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth, which is pays attention to or cares for him? And with all the achievements of man and the likes, we're still but a small speck in God's universe. So I have a little bit of reading here. It won't take real long. There's a picture what I'll be talking about here. This is on a coming from a volcano in Costa Rica. Pablo, someday I'd like to take you to Tenoro Volcano to see the Blue Creek, my wife's nephew told me one day. What's the Blue Creek? I asked. I knew where he's uses some Spanish here. The name I said Tenorio is the English version, and then there's the Spanish version of, for volcano is just Vulcan, and then it's the other name here. But I had grown up living close enough to see in the distance the beautiful extinct volcano covered with the greenest, wildest jungle. But that had been years ago. It's the most amazing thing, Levon continued. A creek that flows out of the foothills of Tenorio has blue water, just as if someone had were constantly dumping in blue dye. If you followed a trail up the creek, you'll find a source of the bluing. Before that point, the water is crystal clear. So if you can imagine it coming up in the mountain there, it's clear, and there's a certain spot where the water turns blue, and I'll explain why. Right where the blue comes into the creek is what looks like a log. Out from under the log gushes the blue that taints the creek. I would sure like to see that, I agreed. Maybe someday we will work. It will work out. That someday came. We were visiting La Tigra, where my wife's parents and Levon's family live. My wife's nephews planned the day, and to my delight, it included a hike to the Blue Creek. We drove to the base, Tenorio, and there the fun began. The whole Tenorio volcano is a natural reserve, and the Costa Rican government had done a great job of conserving the abundant flora and fauna, or plants and animal life. The virgin jungle teemed with life, and I was enthralled as we hiked higher and higher up the volcano's foothills. I was deep into studying bats at the time, and we did our best to find tent bats. We didn't find any bats, but the flora and fauna made up for it. As we hiked the trail, every now and then, we caught a glimpse of the creek. The water looked so fresh and blue, I couldn't wait to jump in for a swim. But no, we needed to keep going, to keep first things first. After hiking for almost 2 hours, we came around a bend in the trail. Then I saw it. I stopped and drank it in. Upstream, the creek was crystal clear, like any other creek in the heart of the jungle. Then there was a breach in the river, and from there down, the water was blue. The line between the two was what intrigued me. After gazing for a bit, we all rushed to the creek's edge to really see what was going on. The breach where the bluing was coming from ran lengthwise with the creek at a slight angle. It sure enough looked as if it were a log under the water where the river made its change. But what really surprised me was that the breach that produced the bluing was not blue at all, but white. It shone out from under the water with a resplendent glow. I'll just show you the picture again. He's showing a picture of the transition here. I took the photos I needed, then I did what I had been itching to do ever since I had gotten there. I jumped in. Who likes to go swimming? Something for the summertime. The water was very cold. Just like all Costa Rican streams are at high altitude, I waded up to the breach carefully. Would the water be hot? Would there be some blast of sulfur that would burn us? No, it was just this 25-foot-long white breach on the creek bottom that somehow made the water blue. And there was a log, and the bluing was coming out from under the log. As we straddled the breach in waist-deep water, we felt warmth. The bluing that seeped out of the breach was volcano hot. The hot water soon mixed with the cold water, and by the time it got to our legs, it only made the water nice and warm. So this was water coming from within the mountain there, from the volcano, and that's where the blue was coming from in the hot water. I had the nerve to reach down into the breach. The closer I got to the gap in the sand, the hotter it got. And all along the gap where the heat seeped out, everything was a blazing white. So the hot and cold mixing. Was it the heat that made it white? After the white area where the heat seeped out, everything was stained with the same blue as the water. My friend and I soon pulled out a piece of log that was stained blue. Once out of the water, it lost some of its richness, yet you could still see the blue on the wood, wet wood. It's another picture here. The transition, the blue, the white, the clear. I grew up beside the Rio Tora in Pinto de San Carlos, Costa Rica. That river had a high sulfur content. Sometimes the water was greenish, sometimes it was really strong and milky white. When the water lay still, it became brackish with a tint of rust and red, so it got dark on the other one. But always the water smelled of sulfur and was bitter to the taste. Not sure if any of you have had the taste of like a sulfur water from a well. We had my parents' neighbors. We'd go there for church back in the day, and it was that stronger sulfur taste. It didn't taste very good. People claim that the cattle that drank the sulfurous water were healthiest in the area. We always claim that we were healthier because we swam in it almost daily. If you know his adventures as a young boy, he had quite the life story. So there was no question why the Rio Tora water was different. It was sulfur saturated. Now up to my waist. So he's in water up to his waist in warm blue water. I wondered. The blue water did not stink. It did not taste bad. It just did not resemble sulfur at all. And yet, in sulfur, I don't know the exact what constitutes it exactly, but it's from when things burn, you get sulfur. And then the Old Testament speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed with sulfur and brimstone. It's something that burns hot. And yet the warmth made it clear that it was volcanic. Blue Creek was sky blue. It must be, I produced, that volcanoes don't only produce hot water, hot sulfur, they also produce a blue something that makes the water so lovely. We hiked down the mountain, tired, but with happy nature, happy hearts. I had seen something totally new in nature that blessed me. No, I still hadn't figured out what the bluing was, but I knew who set up the whole system. After researching the cause of the bluing, I found out that scientists don't really know why the water turns blue. And as many things as we understand, there's a lot more things that we don't understand. And even with all the research and things, it still leaves scientists baffled. Upstream, there is a fork in the creek, and they believe it could partly be a mixture of chemicals, perhaps sulfur and calcium carbonate, from these two creeks. But through the Though the tourists and scientists who go there are baffled, I believe that for 4,000 years ago, when the fountains of the great deep were broken up, there were some areas where lovely blue water spewed out with the rest. And today, many years later, such a stream still exists to give evidence of our Creator God. A few more scriptures here. One of the ones we had from memory at home is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. I know we're not speaking of the heavens here, but I want to skip down to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Skipping ahead here to Psalm 150. Verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Missed the one there, Psalm 139. So I'm just a few reasons here why we should worship the Lord. I'm just trying to stir a heart of worship to our Creator here. Psalm 139. It's very familiar here. But I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And then at the end there, he asked God to search him, know his heart, try him, and know his thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And back to Revelation. We sing this song from time to time, but Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And going on from what Menno shared there in Revelation 21, we keep going there. As Jerry mentioned, there's no break in the chapters originally, but chapter 22, verse 1, and he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So with that, this was on this side of eternity. But as Menno was sharing, who would not, you know, as we go through life, as little ones, you can sing and worship the Lord in those ways, obey and honor your parents. Sometimes we have to settle squabbles between siblings. That's pretty common, but when you do it out of love, and you can share your toys, you can share your things that your parents give you, and we don't have to go through life selfishly. So that was, it encourages me and makes me desire that to see that river someday. So with that, we'll have a short word of prayer. And go back to your seats. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the beautiful day that you've given to us. We thank you for being with us, Lord, and meeting with us. We know that a lot smaller group here today, but where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in our midst, Lord. We thank you for the great and precious promises that you've given to us through your Son. We thank you for the gift of life, salvation through Christ. Lord, and I just pray a blessing on the remainder of this day for Brother Marlon and the rest of the group here. Marlon, as he shares, just pray a blessing on the children as they grow up. If there are many questions, help us as parents, Lord, to guide them in the ways of truth. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And go back to your seats.